now time for Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmental responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models and specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Top Hat Entertainment, helping you with all your party needs from DJs to inflatables. They have it all. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining the right mortgage can be. And Momento's Pizza, delivering to a 10-mile radius of their Taft Corners. Williston location, 879-1000. This is Sports Saturday, living the dream and taking you with us on 101.3 The Game.
Oh, he is right. We are living the dream and taking you with us. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game and 101.3 The Dame got The Dame? TheGame.com. I am your host, Jeff Paul. In the big seat to my right is my good friend, the Chewbacca to my Han Solo, the Paunch to my John, Bernie Siplicki. Good morning, my man.
Good morning, Jeff. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy Super Bowl Eve, buddy. You must be very excited.
No, should be playing today. Not happy, but that's no surprise that I'm not happy.
That is a good debate. We have this every year, and we are now in February, and this will be the month. At the end of this month, Bernie, this show will be 4 years old, and I believe that the first conversation we had was one of the big companies we had was, should the Super Bowl be moved from Sunday to Saturday? And you are a firm believer that any of these major games and these major events that happen should be moved to the day before because you want to have the day off the day after.
Well, I mean, each scenario is a little different in terms of this, but definitely with 2 weeks to prepare, there is absolutely no reason for the Super Bowl not to be on Saturday night.
I mean, I can see your point. Definitely can. I wouldn't have a problem with it either way, but there's something about it being Super Bowl Sunday. I know that there are games played on Thursday. There are games played on Monday during the season. There are
Saturday.
Games played on Saturday during the season. I get all that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think of the NFL, what day do you think of?
Saturday.
You think of Sunday. And that's why it's Super Bowl Sunday. 655-6672 is the number to call if you join our conversation today. 802-655-6672. Or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line at the same number, 655-6672. A lot to talk about. We've got a great show. We're going to talk about the Super Bowl today. We have Tom King, our Patriot insider. He is going to join us live from Atlanta at the Super Bowl at 1040. It'll be great to get his perspective. We go to him a lot for the Patriots throughout the year. He's a great interview, but getting him behind the scenes is going to be a lot of fun for us.
It will be a lot of fun, and looking forward to his perspective. And it's interesting how, you know, now as we get closer to the game, all the love was for the Patriots, and now everybody's talking about, oh, this is how the Rams are going to win. And it's just time to play.
Well, there's a lot to talk about when you have 2 weeks off in between games, and there definitely has been a lot of talk, and we're going to talk about that. We're also going to touch in the second half of the hour about the UVM men's basketball team. Last we talked here, they had come off a really difficult loss to UMBC, but turned it around last Saturday against the number one team in the league at the time, the Stony Brook, and really put it on them in New York last Saturday night, Burn.
And oh, how the sky has stopped falling. What a performance by the Catamounts, especially the last, I think it was 28 minutes. They really struggled to find themselves for the first 12, were down 6, and then just turned it around and played tremendous basketball. And, you know, we're hitting the halfway point of the America East today, and with a win, they'll be 7-1 and right on top and right on course.
We also have our out and left field segment, and we also have our hot or not. So a lot to talk about today. Kyrie Irving and the Celtics, LeBron's effect, and what's going to happen with Anthony Davis.
Porzingis getting traded.
There's so much to talk about today. We're going to get to that. But the first thing I wanted to get to is our Green City Garage poll question today, which you can go to at 101.3 The Game on Twitter and answer the question today. Our Green City Garage is at the phone number 802-651-9299 to get in touch with those guys at Green City Garage. Our good buddy Chris Wallace, owner, 49B Commerce Ave, Unit 5, South Burlington, Vermont. If you have anything you need done on your car, give him a call at 802-651-9299. And he right now is telling me, he sent me a text and he said, hey, mention Sports Saturday through the month of February and get 10% off the total label. I can't even talk today. Labor charge.
Today?
Yeah, exactly. I'm having a hard time every day, but you get 10% off the labor charge at Green City Garage when you mention Sports Saturday. So give him a call if you have anything done. And let me just say this. I had some car trouble yesterday. I call Green City Garage at 651-9299. Chris Wallace, the best in the business, tells me bring the car in, takes care of it quickly for me, gives me a loaner car for the afternoon to take care of my car. It doesn't matter what it's, whether you need oil changes, car, tires rotated, something as minimal as that or something as big as the issue that I had, he can take care of it for you. Give him a call at 651-9299. And today's poll question is, are the Patriots the villain? Yes or no? Are the New England Patriots now the evil empire of the NFL? That's our poll question. Go to @1013thegame at Twitter and give us the answer. Yes or no? Bernie, are they the villain?
I like my question better, but we'll save it for
Well, of course
another
you
day.
Do. I mean, it's your question. I mean, anything you come up with, you like better.
Are they the villain? I would say no. Like, I think their success has a lot of Patriot haters, including myself. But yeah, in terms of a villain, no. I mean, I think it's good for NFL and all sports to have someone, you know, to love or to hate. Like yeah, the Patriots.
You know, and I think they are the villain. I mean, I don't look at them as a, but I think they are the villain. I think if you're not a Patriot fan and you're looking at this from the outside, or you're a fan of another team, and they seem to be the villain. They seem
but
to be
But you always say that you respect and love this group and you have nothing against them and they're likable. So then why are they a villain?
But to me, I don't find them a villain, but I think overall, I think what I'm saying is I don't think personally that
so then you would vote no.
No, but I think I think the perception of the Patriots around the country is that they are a villain.
Sure.
I think that's how they're perceived. And I think it's interesting that in this country in the United States of America, I think we often, lately at least, we don't like success. We don't look at organizations and if you're not a fan of a team, like for example, the New York Yankees are a team that's loathed around the country unless you're a fan of them. If you're a fan of the Yankees, you love them. If you're not a fan of the Yankees, you don't like them. And why is that? What about the New York Yankees?
Why are we using the Yankees?
No, just because they're an organization that wins a lot. They have the most championships in any professional organized sport
from 100 years ago.
But it doesn't matter. You still have the most championships.
Okay.
I think the Boston Celtics at times would look like that, and the Lakers would looked at like that a little bit.
Canadians.
The Canadians would look like that a little bit. So I guess that's my question is why do we dislike success?
Because you're not having it.
Maybe that's the reason. I don't know. I mean, we always root for Superman. He always won. We like the whole Harlem Globetrotters. They always win.
I tell you, I lose a lot of money on the Generals. I always think they're going to break through.
I think they only won like a handful of times. Can you imagine what that game would... I'd love to be in a game where the Globetrotters and the Generals, where it was neck and neck and the Globetrotters really had to turn it up to get the win. That'd be a lot of fun to watch.
My favorite is when on The Simpsons, Krusty the Clown bets on the Generals and, you know, he loses. You ever see that episode?
No.
It's hilarious.
Maybe I have. Is it an older one?
They were due.
I wonder what the point spreads are like in those games. Well, you would know. You're the big gambler.
Not on the Washington Generals Globetrotters.
You don't jump on the bandwagon.
No. Nope.
But in all seriousness, I feel as if you're not a fan of these teams, it's like we despise them. I mean, there are people that just despise the Patriots.
You despise Duke?
I don't despise Duke. That's not true.
But you don't despise anybody.
I don't.
So I credit you that. But you don't dislike the Patriots.
I don't dislike the Patriots.
So they're not a villain to you. There's no villains for you in your world of sports.
So are you saying that I should have answered that question as no? I don't think they're villains. Okay, then I'll answer it as no. I don't look at the Patriots. I don't look at the Patriots. I look at the Patriots and think, wow, what they've done. My biggest problem with the Patriots is not the Patriots. It's the Red Sox fans that are the fans of the Patriots. Because the Red Sox fans are the ones that get into my kitchen so much. Because a Red Sox fan is usually associated with the Patriots. And that's what drives me crazy.
You are perplexing this to another level.
I'm just telling you how it is for me. But when I look at the New England Patriots, I'm in shock. I'm in awe of what they've done since 2001.
So they're not villains. They're just good.
They're very good.
Right.
They're the best organization the NFL has ever seen for this period of time.
Absolutely.
Name one. I know that everyone looks back and talks about the Cowboys of... What is it, the 90s?
And the Niners it's not even close.
It isn't.
We're talking 2 decades.
But before the Patriots, say prior to 2001, you looked back at the 49ers, the Cowboys, and the Steelers and the Green Bay Packers of way back in the 60s as the gold standard. Those are the four organizations that you just can't. But none of these organizations can stand
They might have
the
matched those four organizations' runs. With what they're doing.
So if you add up all of them to what the Patriots done, and not only the championships that they've won, it's the relevancy they've had since 2001. I mean, they have been the relevant organization every year. And people will go into the situation with, well, you know, last week with the question was Belichick or Brady. And
right.
I mean, even the years that Brady didn't play, the Patriots were good. And can you imagine being 11-5 and not making the playoffs? That's what it was with Matt Cassel.
Yeah.
They didn't make plays. That's not Belichick's fault. You won 11 games in the NFL.
How about this? If you're a Patriot non-supporter, would you rather have, and you know these two facts, Patriots win and then Brady and Belichick are done?
Yep.
Or Patriots lose and Brady and Belichick are together for five more years?
That is a really good question, Bernie. Because you never, if you're a Patriot fan, well, that's a good question to ask Aaron. Aaron's a big Pats fan.
So the Patriots win this Super Bowl, and then Brady and Belichick are done. Or they lose this Super Bowl, and you got them for five more years.
Brady and Belichick?
Brady and Belichick.
That makes it a lot harder, because if it was just Brady, I would say, give me this year. Because
That's not what we're saying.
Man.
And the thing about that is, and that's not too far off, because all the talk seems to be about Brady retiring, but Belichick's no spring chicken here. You know, I mean, he's at a point where in his career, where he may decide, you know what, I'm done as well. So that's coming soon as well, I would imagine. No one's talking about it, but I would say that could be happening soon. So Patriot fans out there, Bernie's asked the question, would you rather have a championship this season and then watch your two guys, Belichick and Brady, walk away? Or would you rather lose this Super Bowl tomorrow and have your boys for the next, say, 5 or 6 years, Brady and Belichick together?
And I mean, you're talking, you got 12 draft picks, you got all kinds of cap room coming. So the next 5 years,
I would say I'd lose tomorrow, because I am really trying to hold off for as long as possible the time where the Patriots have an incompetent
coach. So you want to be 5-4 in Super Bowls?
Yeah, I'd rather that than having like
6-3 and have it be over.
An incompetent coach have to get hired.
And that's the other thing. I mean, it doesn't matter who you hire after Belichick. Belichick is the standard bearer of the greatest NFL football coach ever to live. He just is.
You got Josh McDaniels on the wing.
And that's probably something that he's holding on to. And that, you know, and I'll say one thing about that. Let me just say this. When the Giants had Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick, they made a huge mistake in not keeping, whether they kept Parcells and let Belichick take over, he let them both walk. And what did that turn out to be, Bernie? Ray Hanley. So I kind of been thinking about this with Josh McDaniels for a long time. Why wouldn't he stay as long as possible? Because to me, it would be intriguing for him to stay to be, just be the standard bearer when Belichick decides to go. So we just got a text on the Town Fair Tire text line, which you can call us at, or you can text to, or you can call us here at same number, 655-6672. Todd says, as a Pats fan, I can solidly confirm that they are absolutely considered villains. Whenever I wear Patriots swag around town, it's almost always... it always elicits at least one negative response. P.S. I could care less, Todd. You shouldn't, Todd. You should be excited about your Pats.
Well, but it's easy to understand how he gets those negative responses. So,
yeah.
I mean, I get how they're villains and go from there. We just got another text. Let them win this year and let them walk out on top.
Yeah, yeah.
What I would say to the negative responses being elicited in public, I've seen a couple of posts about this. It may be obnoxious to see Pats fans. There's nothing more obnoxious than someone stopping you in public and complaining about something that's your belief. Don't do that. That's such a crappy thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, of course. Leave them alone.
Now, I mean, is it different than, like I see Jeff walking by and he has his Virginia hat and I go, oh, go Duke.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, truth be told, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think let's be honest.
Is it fun banter?
Exactly.
Or is it fun banter? If you're insulting somebody,
if you whine to me in public about being a Pats fan, you're going to get the bird.
Give me an example.
Hold on a minute. Yeah.
So if I'm walking by, you got Pats garb on us, and I say, good thing you're not playing the NFC East this year.
You're getting the bird burn.
No, that's banter. I would say if you're like,
right.
Ugh.
That's totally different than fun banter.
Yeah, and I would even say this. I would even say if somebody walked up and said, "Oh my God, a Patriot fan." I mean, who cares?
Who cares?
I mean, if you're getting insulted,
I'm gonna say, "Oh my God, keep it in your head."
Yeah, right. I mean, I understand you get insulted, but at the end of the day, my whole point of this is, listen, I'm a Yankees fan. I get it from Red Sox fans when I'm wearing my Yankee stuff.
You do?
I do. Well, not as much anymore. You see it all the time. In fact, I got a great story.
You're not relevant.
I can tell you a whole. Oh, come on. That's the thing about the Yankees. You can say what you want about the Sox and congrats all the success. The Yankees are always relevant.
Of course they
are. They've been relevant since 1994, baby, and it's not stopping now. Green City Garage, our the sponsors of our poll question, which is, are the Patriots villains, says, nope, win tomorrow. Getting to the Super Bowl is not guaranteed in the next 5 years. He's absolutely right.
I don't ever want to see the day where like a Marvin Lewis level coach is coaching our team.
And Tom, you know, the Giants got lucky twice, but sometimes luck is when skill meets opportunity.
We will absolutely take luck.
And we'll take luck.
I will always take luck.
Absolutely.
I will always take luck.
No, luck is when Strahan meets Tom Brady.
Well, and you know that the crazy thing is, really, like the Patriots are two plays away from being 7-1 in this run.
What?
Or two plays away from being
8-0. Or
even being 3-5.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
You know, it just shows you how awesome it is.
It really is. And the Patriots, and what they've done is spectacular. And I think Green City Garages Tech says it, like, you know, you take your win when you can get it, because there is no guarantee. But again, when you look at what the Patriots have done, are you going to bet that out of the next, if they stay together for the next 5 years, and Bernie makes a great point, tons of cap space, tons of draft picks, the best coach with arguably the best quarterback, if you decide to keep, if you keep these guys together, who's to say they don't make four of the next five Super Bowls, especially when you look at the AFC, for the exception of Kansas City, who I think is going to be a juggernaut with that quarterback. Who else is going to beat you in there?
Phillip Rivers.
Oh, please.
Okay.
I gave you one. Break. Toddy, the insults are always, they're cheaters related. My response is something to the effect of, yep, that explains everything,
yeah.
Todd.
Yeah. No, he's right there.
Mine would be, who are you a fan of? Go ahead, let them cheat, see if they can still beat Bill.
Yep. Nah.
Oh, why are you so salty anyway if you're a Patriot fan?
Like, oh, because there's a lot of whining. There's a lot of whining.
Have you ever seen the Patriots have a bad season in your life?
No.
No, but
okay, so then stop.
That's not
stop.
My point. That's not my point.
That's my point.
My point is, don't whine at me because of my affiliation. I don't whine at Warriors fans. I don't whine at...
There's no Warrior fans around here.
Philadelphia fans. Yeah, there are. My high school was chock full of guys walking around with Steph Curry jerseys, and I wanted to be like, you're full of it, but I didn't, because that's not something you do to people in public.
Okay.
Jeez. You are I love
checkmate.
No, but I love the passion for niceness.
Yeah,
and positivity and respect towards the opponent.
Yeah, that's my opinion in general. You don't walk up to people in public and say something unfriendly to them. That's
sure,
not cool.
I mean, no, I understand that, but I also understand that in sports there is banter and there is back and forth.
The cheater stuff. Okay, like I throw it out there. I'm not gonna lie, but enough is enough.
Well, I mean, but at the same time, you have to own what you did. You reap what you sow. I mean, the Patriots did do some things that were deemed unethical, and you're gonna get called out by fans like that. I mean, I agree with Aaron to the point that, you know, you can't go out and be like disrespecting somebody, but the whole point of sports is you're gonna get back and forth with fans. You're gonna have fun with that. Right. I got a great, and sometime down the road I'll tell you a story. In 2004 I went to the first Yankee Red Sox game, okay, of the year. And I got a great story about that. Red Sox fans were not friendly with me as a Yankee fan going to that game. I can tell you that. But now everything seems to be fine at Fenway Park when I go, because the Red Sox have kind of, you know, had their way with the Yanks last few years.
Yeah. Winning cures all.
But times are coming, buddy. The Yankees are turning the corner.
We're talking about the Super Bowl that should be played in about 6 hours, but it's not.
I'm with you.
We have been talking about this Super Bowl.
8 hours.
We're going to get really into the Super Bowl next when you guys come back. Don't go anywhere.
The Huddle.
Coming up Monday at 3, we're breaking down the Super Bowl.
What happened to the Patriots and why?
We'll discuss the game from all angles. Monday at 3, only on The Huddle.
Life is full of challenging decisions. Don't make financing a home one of them. Hi, this is Nick Parent, loan officer with the Vermont Mortgage Company. Vermont Mortgage Company is a leader in residential mortgages, refinances, and investment property financing. We offer an array of options to serve the financing needs of all Vermonters. See how easy obtaining the right mortgage for you can be. Call us today at 802-863-2020 or visit us online at vermontmortgagecompany.com. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters.
VMC is an equal housing lender. Company NMLS number 1345175. Nick Barrett, NMLS number 92154.
New England's football team is big game bound. And so is the New England Nation team. Local 44 is your New England Nation station, gearing up to bring you exclusive big game coverage. Thursday, take a look back at this season. Friday, check out our week in Atlanta. Saturday, it's our special pregame show. Sunday morning, get with our game day special. And Sunday night, live postgame coverage. Local 44 is your New England Nation station.
With studios powered by Vermont Federal Credit Union, with great products, great rates, and great taste in music. Vermont Federal Credit Union. Check them out today at vermontfederal.org. This is 101.3 The Game.
And now, your latest forecast.
Saturday continues under partly to mostly cloudy skies with areas of snow. High temperatures will be near 25. Snow ends tonight through early Sunday. Total accumulation, a dusting to 2 inches in valleys, a little bit more in the mountains. Lows will be near 12. Sunday, we're partly to mostly cloudy and dry most of the day. Highs will be near 30. A wintry mix arrives Sunday night through Monday morning. With your forecast, I'm SkyTracker Chief Meteorologist Sean Parker with Local 22 and Local 44 News.
Phone lines are now open. Call 802-655-6672. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
My wife was in Atlanta this week and brought me back. Can you notice, see the t-shirt through this? It's kind of a light pullover. Can you see my Super Bowl t-shirt I have on?
Jeff, you're making me feel uncomfortable.
She brought me back a t-shirt. My wife was down in Austin, Texas for a business this week, and they went and did axe throwing.
Nice.
Yeah. She showed me some videos, and this girl can chuck some axe, man. And she's throwing, I mean, incredible. Made me a little nervous.
How's she doing this morning?
Oh, she's good this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's all good this morning. But the axe throwing was very impressive in Austin, Texas. And then they had a layover in Atlanta, and I said, you got to get me a t-shirt from Atlanta. It's the Super Bowl. So she got me a t-shirt at the airport.
She should have got you a Trae Young shirt.
Who?
The point guard from Oklahoma. Oh,
why do I want that?
Because
he's in Atlanta now.
Future.
No, I don't want that.
He's
want
the goat of bad haircuts, too.
Well, you got to give the kid credit. He doesn't have a lot of hair, man. He's just like me. I mean, that's how it works out. He's got some fine hair. I mean, see, there you go right there. Let me say this before we move to the Super Bowl. You just spent about 18 minutes whining about being picked on for being a Patriot
fan. Banter.
Hold on. And now you're going after somebody's hair that he has no control over. I'm going to stand up for the ball people in this country. I mean, that poor kid is wearing it the best of... Hold on a minute.
Don't interrupt me.
He is losing his hair, but he's owning it. He's got it going all over the place, just like a kid like I when I was that age. And you're going after him. I'm disgusted. Now I'm offended.
First of all,
I apologize.
Insulting. I think Trae Young's great. Insulting would be like Trae Young sucks. Trae Young's a total. You know,
you made fun of his hair.
You just made fun of something he has no control over.
I'm fine with it. It's banter. I think that's banter. Oh,
okay, so that's
you think
okay.
That's banter.
So you can pick on somebody's physical appearance
just because you have a beautiful crop of hair.
Exactly. And something like me that has terrible hair.
I'll give you an example.
And I got the chia pad head.
I'll give you an example.
Nothing wrong with that.
You guys think I have a great head of hair, but our own Arnie Spanier makes fun of me for my hair every time I come on the show.
I don't care what Arnie says. Yeah. Take a look at your crop, man. You have a good crop up there.
Yeah, but it's some people disagree. Some people think my hair
So it's okay to pick on somebody's appearance with you, but it's not okay to pick on somebody's fanhood with you.
No, it's okay to jokingly mess with people. It's not okay to insult people in public.
Oh, okay, okay.
We're just making fun of people on radio.
Also, it's our job. That's another big difference.
Oh,
our job's
okay.
to entertain. No. And entertaining can be insulting sometimes.
You're just really? Like a, you're. You
listen
are
to our weekday lineup.
You are in. True. You are in spin cycle. You are in spin cycle right now, kiddo. All right, let's get to the Super Bowl here. One of the things that's been talked about.
When is it playing tonight?
No, tomorrow.
Oh.
One of the things that's been talked about, and by the way, let me give the number if you want to join our conversation. Like as always, 655-6672 is the number to call. You can text us in the Town Fair Tire text line. Same number, 655-6672. One of the things being talked about, this week is about Sean McVay, head coach of the Rams. And we've already knighted this kid as the next great coach. And listen, don't get me wrong. I think he's a great coach. He's turned the LA Rams around. We know what they were like with Jeff Fisher. I get all that. But can we please have him do something? Like win a championship or something?
He has.
He won an NFC championship. I get that. Okay. I mean a Super Bowl championship. NFC champion, conference championships. How many coaches are you going to remember in 10 years from now that won the NFC championship? Who won the NFC championship? And don't look at your notes. In like 1996. Nobody cares. It's Super Bowl championships. And I'm not going to sit here and say that he is not a great coach, but let's have him do something, win a championship.
He's done a lot for a young coach, and he is on pace. And yes, the next and final hurdle.
But what
is
has
to
he
win
done? What
is,
but a young coach. He's been there for 2 years.
Right.
Got him to the playoffs first year. Great right. job.
And now he's got him to the Super Bowl.
And now he's got him in the Super Bowl. But a team that kind of went into the playoffs not playing great football. Okay, a team that didn't play great coming into the playoffs. A team that should have been the number one seed but wasn't.
And they're still there.
And they're still
And they're still finding ways to win. And they could have easily tanked in New Orleans. And they found a way to win.
And they found a way to win. And again, New Orleans allowing that to happen. New Orleans, again, they kind of backed themselves into the Super Bowl. Let's be honest. So I'm not downgrading him, but we really put this kid in a position where it's like, oh, this is the next great coach. I mean, let's pump the brakes here and see where we go.
Wait a second. He's been there 2 years. Yeah. He got to the playoffs.
Yeah.
He's gotten to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of good things.
Agreed.
He calls audibles for his quarterback. He figured out that there's you can exploit the rules and call audibles for your quarterback as a coach standing on the sideline.
Brady,
a genius.
Aaron, what I'm saying is, but let's win. Like, let's win a championship.
Fair.
Let's be consistent.
Isn't one of the hardest things to do is win a championship?
Only one a year.
So let's not kill the guy.
I'm not killing him. What I'm saying is, can we pump the brakes on knighting him the next great coach of the NFL?
I think he's...
I mean, we take a little success in the media, a little bit of it. You know, we forget, you know, we this team, nobody was even talking. I mean, they were talking about the New Orleans Saints and what's going to happen. I mean, that was the team that was going to go to the Super Bowl. Look, the Rams are in. Don't get me wrong. But we're going to knight him as the next great coach, the next big thing here in the NFL. Let's just wait and see. Let's just wait and see what happens here before we start knighting guys the next great coach. I'm just saying.
Well, we started talking Rams, and I'm pretty sure we've got Dave Hunter on the line now.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
So joining us now on the line, if it is... Dave.
Yeah, I heard you guys. Like, you know, I have copyright on the ball jokes, okay?
you're point blank for the guy giving me a hard time about my hair. My head.
Wasn't a ball joke.
Well, did you use the one about being played under a dome yet?
It's a good thing I have thick skin around you, David. I'm gonna tell you. So if you don't know, this is Dave Hunter, our former producer here on Sports Saturday. How you doing, buddy? You got to be excited as you are, my friend, the biggest Rams fan that I know.
I am. I'm like, there's one other Rams fan I know of downtown, and he showed up at my bar last night at Esox 194 Main Street in Burlington across from the sports bar.
I missed that.
You ought to come down. We're going to be serving free food on Sunday.
What?
For the big game. The big victory party for the Rams.
Hey, Dave, again, where do you stand with 2 weeks in between? Should the game be played tonight or tomorrow?
The game is going to be played tomorrow.
Okay, but what do you think? With 2 weeks in between, should they move the game to Saturday or keep it on Sunday?
No, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Thank you, David.
I used to think I miss you, not anymore.
Super Bowl Sunday. How they play Super Bowl Sunday on a Saturday, Bernie?
Yeah, fair enough.
This is the first time in all the years we've been doing this show when Dave would sit in that chair where Aaron
he agrees
is right
with
now,
you.
That he agrees with me. Normally, I was like the goofy kid sitting at the popular kid table in this room, and now Dave agrees with me. Thank you, David.
Well, you know, I left because I lost my marbles because of doing the show. So don't listen to me now.
All right, David. So what's the score going to be tomorrow, buddy?
Well, as the amazing Creskin, the guy who predicted the election, the Rams are going to win by 17.
They're going to win by 17 points. What's the score going to be?
I don't know.
I mean, going to be a high-scoring game, low-scoring game? What do you think?
High-scoring game.
High-scoring game. The Rams win by 17 points.
41-24? Yeah.
No, I think it's going to be up in the 30s, high 30s.
Wow, it's going to be something.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Well, David, listen, man, I will say this. David and I were texting last week, or 2 weeks ago during the NFC Championship,
sure.
And Dave was
yeah.
The whole game, steady as she goes, not going to be a problem. We got this,
yep.
And sure enough. He's like the poor guy,
but,
Swami.
But he was like that, you know, during the American League playoffs this year, too.
You know what I thought was terrible about that game was the refs. How they didn't call that the face mask when Goff was going in. So,
David, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Is Nickell Robey-Coleman your favorite player?
Who?
Nickell Robey-Coleman.
I don't even know who that is.
He's the corner with the pass interference.
That wasn't.
I don't know who it is.
The guy who you know, the penalty should have been called on, but they didn't call it on.
Well, I didn't see that.
Dave,
I don't know what everybody's talking about.
Dave, that's why you're the greatest.
David, man, we love you, buddy, and enjoy the game tomorrow. And, hey, man, you might be right. Dave's got him the Rams winning by 17, Burn. I listen, why not believe him? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right. Because I've been predicting this for a long time, my friend.
And you've been predicting it since 2015.
That's why we got all those draft picks.
It's a good point.
Yeah?
It's a good point.
Yeah, and we'd like to thank RG3 as well.
Have a great day, Dave. We'll talk to you down the road, brother.
All right.
Thanks, Dave.
So I'll tell you this. You know, we'll get into the game now, and obviously it's great to talk to Dave Hunter. One of the things that would make me nervous if I was a Rams fan is the fact that Bill Belichick is smiling a lot this week. And he's chummy with Sean McVay. And he just seems to be like in this happy mood. Bill Belichick, if you've watched him over the years, he is the stoic man. We're on to the next one. You know, doesn't answer the questions, doesn't smile, doesn't crack a joke, doesn't do anything. And every time I see him on television this week, he's smiling, he's outgoing, he's friendly. I've never seen this Bill Belichick. That would make me incredibly nervous if I was a Rams fan. Incredibly nervous.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd just be nervous because I'm playing Belichick anyway.
Well, I mean, I think the Patriots win this game. I really do. I think the Patriots take care of it. I can't imagine Goff or in this case McVay beating them. I don't see that happening. And again, I think Sean McVay is a great young coach, great energy. He's a guy you can get behind. There's no question about that. I'm not doubting his ability to be a coach, but I want to wait before we start to indoctrinate these guys into the next great coach. And I just want to wait and see what happens. I mean, the NFL
couldn't you see the front four of the Rams terrorizing Brady?
Not with 2 weeks
to prepare. Todd Gurley running wild and the Rams winning?
No.
That is the big question is, because historically the Patriots, if you give them 2 weeks to prepare, they do really, really well. They typically win. But what are you going to do to game plan against Aaron Donald, who's a superhuman freak of nature?
I think the Patriots have shown that this offensive line, as the games have gotten more important, has gotten better and better. They've dominated the trenches the last 3 or 4 weeks. They have been the team
that's
dictated.
Kansas City's defense is not very good.
I don't think the Rams' defense is. We talk a lot about that Ram defense, but that defense has not played at the level that we've expected them to play since the middle of the season.
The pass rush has, though. That's one of the concern. The pass, but they said the same thing about Kansas City.
How many times has Brady been hit in the playoffs?
Not very many.
I don't think he's been hit maybe once. I don't think
zero
he's been,
last
that's what
game.
I mean. I mean, this team, this coach, and this quarterback know something. I mean, just watch the demeanors this week. There's something going on with the Patriots.
Are you claiming shenanigans?
No. I'm just talking about I'm not calling shenanigans. I'm calling straight confidence.
Good, because Aaron might go nuts if you're calling.
Really. Yeah, really. Yeah, I can pick on his appearance because there's no problem with that.
But you can't pick
on
his pats.
Don't you pick on the pats. But I will say, there's something about the Patriots this week that make you feel confident if you're a fan of them.
Are they just elated to be back?
That's not the Patriot way. That's not the Patriot way, man. The Patriots are, I mean, I'll tell you something else.
The Patriot way is to win, and that's all they do.
And that's all they do.
Right.
And I've never seen a Patriot team go into any Super Bowl, and that includes when they were undefeated against the Giants with this type of confidence. I haven't seen Belichick at press conferences smiling. I've never seen Belichick do these stand-up interviews with McVay that I saw on the NFL Network the first or second day of everybody being there, having this back and forth. I've never seen Belichick do that stuff. And at the end of the day, when you start seeing Bill Belichick relaxed and calm and smiling, that's got to make Rams fans incredibly nervous. Paul in St. Albans on the text line says, how many sacks does Aaron Donald have in the playoffs so far? As a Pats fan, I'm not too worried. And then Tom says, I don't know if you guys touched on this, but Super Bowl 53, and this is the 11th time the Patriots have been in Super Bowl. Haters going to hate. Don't you worry, Tom. But Paul, we can find out how many sacks he's had, but I agree with you. This Rams defense has not been a dominant force in this playoff. It just hasn't been. The offense has made plays. They've benefited from in New Orleans, they benefited from some. We talk about the non-penalty being called. I blame Sean Payton for the New Orleans Saints not being in this World Championship.
How come you're kind of blaming everybody? Why not just give the coach of the Rams some credit?
I'm not blaming anybody.
You're blaming Sean Payton.
Well, Sean Payton he's in field goal range with under 2 minutes to play.
Right.
And he decides to throw the ball twice and give the Rams an opportunity with a timeout. So I blame him when all you have to do is kick a field goal to win the game. That's simple. That's Tom Coughlin late in his career Giants jargon with the play, with the clock.
Well, I don't think saying that LA should have lost to New Orleans is a bash against the Rams either. That playing in that dome against Drew Brees is historically difficult.
And without your helmets working for the first half of the first quarter.
Being that loud, it was insanely loud in that stadium that no one could hear anything.
Okay. I mean, I'm not listening. Okay. I mean, I'm just saying to you that look.
Well, I'm with you.
Okay, you're with me. The Rams are a good football team. They've got a great running back. They've got a great coach. They've got a dominant defensive line. But this is not the New York Giants that beat the Patriots in 2008 or 9, whatever, when they were undefeated. That's not that defense. And it's not the defense that beat the Patriots. It's not the Eagles defense that beat the Patriots last year either.
That is the difference, is that those pass rushes have historically had multiple really dangerous pass rushers on their team. With this team, you've got Aaron Donald, and then unless Ndamukong Suh has a really great game, there's no one else on that
line. And Ndamukong Suh is just a name. I mean, Ndamukong Suh has not been the all-pro football player that we saw back when he was in Detroit. He hasn't been for a long time. I mean, look, don't get me wrong. I'm not downplaying
Aaron Donald has not gotten a sack in the playoffs. Thank you, Paul.
So no sacks in playoffs. He's a great player, all-pro. We understand who he is. Could have been MVP. But when you see Bill Belichick smiling as much as he has, and you see the comfort the Patriots have, and you see the way they've played this game with 2 weeks, if you don't think the Patriots roll tomorrow, then you are a quote-unquote hater, I guess. But as Tom Brady told a little kid, we love them. We don't hate anybody. We just love the haters. But I like the Patriots big time tomorrow, but we will get the inside scoop, everything Patriots, with our good buddy Patriot Insider Tom King, who joins us live here from Atlanta and the Super Bowl. Don't go anywhere.
Getting you ready for game day. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
Don't forget to go at 101.3 The Game on Twitter. Our Green City Garage poll question today: are the Patriots the villain? Yes or no? I keep wanting to call you Brady, Aaron. Aaron, where are we at right now? What's the percentages?
We are 88% yes, 12% no.
There you go. But I promise you that to me.
But again, you don't think they're villains. You think they're conceived of it.
Sure.
Conceptually, they're right. Villains.
To me.
But you personally right. Don't think they're villains.
I don't look at the Patriots as villains, no. I don't think that they're villains personally. I wouldn't say, oh, yeah, I can't stand them. They're the bad guys. But I think perceived nationally, if not a Patriot fan, I think I'm in the minority in that position.
I'd be the same way.
Just saying.
But you're so nice.
I am nice.
Not as nice as our guest.
I'm a really nice guy. Oh, who's better than this? On the TikTok Jewelers guest line, live from Atlanta, the home of the Super Bowl, our good friend and Patriot insider Tom King joins us now. Tom, good morning, buddy.
I bet you say that about all the guests.
How you doing?
I was a radio host. I know how it works.
Only you, my good friend. Only you. So, hey, listen. So you've been down there this week. What's it been like?
Well, it's been kind of, I don't know, typical Super Bowl week, really. It hasn't been any, abnormal stories or any, big, huge incidents or anything like that. It's been basically, the Patriots talking about just how they've, persevered through the season. The Rams talking about how excited they are to be there and how they know what they got to, have to basically beat history. To win this game, they're going up against an iconic coach or iconic quarterback, and that's basically been it. That's the way it's worked all week. I mean, Gronkowski's having fun with the retirement thing, and I do think he's gonna call it quits at the end of the day. But yeah, I don't think he'll say anything Sunday night, win or lose. He doesn't want to take away from either situation, but. I just think it's been it's been kind of a typical Super Bowl week with, and the weather, thank God, has warmed up a little bit. It was what a riot on Tuesday. I flew down Tuesday and I was a little nervous. I said, wait a minute, we're going to get an inch and a half of 2 inches of snow they're expecting. Big deal, right? Well, for them it is. And they closed the schools. And they closed state offices or had offices closed early because they were afraid of the sun. Not a flake fell. Not a flake. All rain.
Unbelievable. It is interesting. But the thing about it is down there, is that they don't have the means to clean it up. There isn't right. much salt. There isn't.
Oh, they were patting themselves on the back for having all this brine and stuff that they were throwing on the sidewalks and the streets and all. Everything was covered with it, but there was no snow. it's a different world. Completely different world.
We were talking last segment about this game, and one of the things that I think has been telling, at least in the during the week leading up, is how smiley Bill Belichick is. I don't know if I've ever seen Bill Belichick in any of these pressers or any of these interviews I've seen. The smiling and the happy-go-luckiness and the relaxed nature of Bill Belichick. If I'm a Rams fan today, I'm nervous about that.
Well, you know, I don't read too much into it. I just think that Belichick, no, I mean, this is the deal. It's Super Bowl week. So he's answering questions or at least giving a little more insight in some of his answers than he normally would for a press conference on a Wednesday or Friday or a Monday in Foxborough. You know, this is a little different. He's on the national stage. He's got, and he knows he's going to get dumb questions, you know, not dumb questions, but really off-the-wall questions from, you know, reporters from, you know, international reporters, from reporters who don't know, you know, are from all around the U.S. who aren't familiar with the team and the whole bit. So I think that's one of the things. I mean, one of the questions was, he was pretty good about it, you know, in terms of asking, somebody asked if he's ever going to write a book about his experiences and everything else, blah, blah, blah. And you know, he began with the standard answer, you know, well, you know, after the, you know, there'll be time for all that. Right now I'm just focused on the Rams and blah, blah, blah. And he said, would you buy one? You know, so that was pretty good. You wouldn't have gotten that at Foxborough. You would have just gotten to say, no, we're just on to the Rams. And that would have been it, period. End of story. So he's doing a little of that. I mean, that's how they have to do it. You know, I mean, I give the players credit because they have to, you know, media night on Monday. I haven't gone to that since it became a night thing. Because I usually just try to fly down on Tuesday to avoid all the hubdub and all the craziness. But media night, they put up with all the off the wall stuff, a lot of it. And then, on Wednesdays and Thursdays, everybody's available at the team hotels for an hour and 15 minutes, hour 20 or whatever it is, you know, and they're answering the same questions over and over and over. So it's, and sometimes they get a few different ones, but, you know, I got to give them credit. That takes a little bit of patience to do it. And, you know, they obviously don't really, for some of them, it's like pulling teeth, but I mean, that's the way it is in the Super Bowl, and they're riding with it.
Tom, what do you think the Patriots' game plan defensively is going to be? Are they going to, you know, try to take away the running game and make Goff beat them, or do the go the other way and play a lot of zone and see if the Rams can run the ball?
Well, I'll tell you, if you're gonna let C.J. Anderson and Todd Gurley alone and not really worry about them too much, I think that's going to be an issue. I think that they're probably going to try to do everything they can to disrupt Goff and throw him off his game. I think they probably figure he's young enough and impressionable enough, hasn't seen a lot, and you know, even though he's been in the league 3 years, and it's his first Super Bowl, I would probably think that they're going to try to rattle him as much as possible. You know, they know the Rams can put up a lot of points, and we'll see if that works. That would be my take, you know, for what they might want to do. So we'll see how that works.
Do you like the Patriots tomorrow?
You know, I really do, and I wrote a column for Sunday, I call it the Intangibles Bowl, and I think one of the intangibles is they found something somewhere right before Christmas. Now, beating the Bills and the Jets wasn't a big deal, but they did it in such a way that they proved that they can go at you in different ways, depending on what you're going to try to do. Now, the Jets wasn't a big deal, but still, that just gave them a little bit of confidence, I think. In the Bills game, they knew the Bills' pass defense was tough, so they ran the ball a lot. And that started this power running game we're starting to see. So they've, you know, everybody says, well, they're changing their identity. No, they're not. They're going against teams with what they think will beat that particular team on that particular day. So they change up that way. But my feeling is emotionally, they discovered something, after that Steeler loss, and they got themselves together a little bit. And the other factor is there's enough guys on this team that lost last year that don't want to have that feeling again. So, look, the other teams are trying to win, too. So, you know, I'm not saying that one team is – I hate that expression. We want, you know, whoever wants to win it more is going to win the game. I think they both want to win as much. I just think that this Patriot team, it's tough to bet against them losing two Super Bowls in a row.
Win, lose, or draw, Tom Brady comes back, right?
Oh, I don't think that's ever been a question. I mean, really, I don't understand why all the excitement over this. He's not going to retire. He wants to play till he's 45. He said it over and over again. That's what they want to do. They'll do something with the contract at some point. They won't make a big deal about it. And that's what's going to happen. The guy who's going to retire is going to be Gronkowski. I think this is going to be it for him. I don't think his body can take much more punishment.
So we only have a couple minutes left. I mean, our own Brady Farkas here, producer here at 101.3 The Game, our executive producer was down there all week, and he had some great stories, obviously great interviews. But do you have any great stories or interesting interviews you had throughout the week down there, Tom?
Yeah, I met a guy from Georgia yesterday. He was walking around. He had a Patriots jersey on. And, you know, when you see people with Patriots garbs on, you know, you have a Brady shirt on, you walk out, you know, where are you from? You know, try to find some locals, right? So I talked to him. He was in Radio Row, and I said, and he's from Curacao originally, but when he came to the U.S., the first place he lived for, I think, 14 years was Boston, was the Boston area. And this was in 1988, and even in 88 when they stunk, he fell in love with the Patriots. And, and even through all the losing years and everything else, he stuck with them, and now he's reaping the benefits. He lives down here in Georgia now. I said, well, how were you treated after the 28-3? He goes, not very well. that I thought was pretty interesting. The other interesting thing I stumbled upon yesterday was Eric Dickerson walking around. And Dickerson, from talking to people in L.A., is just living vicariously through this Rams team. You know, he never went to a Super Bowl and, is always portrayed as a guy who cared about his numbers and not about team, but he really cares about team now because he's pro-L.A. He's thrilled that the Rams are back in L.A. He was in the locker room after the Saints game celebrating with the team, and I guess he's taking this all in and really enjoying it. So those are a couple of little anecdotes besides the snow thing that took place Tuesday. When I talked to some people on, I know you have to go, and I talked to some people on Tuesday in Atlanta when I got here. I said, which are you more afraid of, being haunted by the memory of 28-3 or by being haunted by snow? Snow was unanimous.
Tom, you're the best, buddy. Enjoy the Super Bowl. We'll touch base with you down the road, my man.
All right, guys.
All right.
Thanks.
Great Tom King. That's got to be a lot of fun to be walking around Radio Row, and then, you know, one minute you meet an old-time Patriot fan that's got that story that he met from the guy from Georgia, and then the next guy turns around, it's Eric Dickerson. I mean, that's just got to be really cool.
Absolutely.
The only thing that I don't like, and I was thinking about this before we go to break, the only thing that I don't like about the Patriots right now, where I look at a villain, is Jon Bon Jovi. Jon Bon Jovi is
so
now
irrelevant.
A big Patriot fan.
No.
He's in the booth singing his song. But during those good times of the 80s with the Giants and the 90s with the Giants, he's a big Giant fan. I think it was the 1990 championship with the Giants. He narrates that. He's a big Giant fan, silent the Giants in the locker room, and now all of a sudden a Patriot fan. Talk about a front runner. Talk about not living on a prayer. That's not living on a prayer, being a jumping from the Giants to the Patriots whenever you just jump on a winning team. Living on a prayer is sticking with your team through and through.
More like living on a wagon, yeah. Bandwagon.
Exactly.
Zing.
Thank you very much. I'm anti Jon Bon Jovi now.
I got nothing.
We'll be right back.
Get ready, because you're about to hear some weird shit. This is Out in Left Field on 101.3 The Game.
Kiddo, what do you got this week?
Hold on a second, let me turn this music down.
What? I can't hear you. The music was really loud.
Jose Canseco says that aliens can teach us how to time travel.
Oh, of course they can. I totally agree with him.
Jose Phone Home, former Oakland A's DH, Jose Canseco claimed on Twitter that aliens want to share the secrets of time travel, but they're having trouble getting in touch. Aliens have been trying to teach us how to time travel, but first we have to change our body composition, which we are not willing to do. We have tried with animals and it has failed, he tweeted. Let that sit for a second. The American League's 1988 MVP, who toyed with the idea of becoming President Trump's chief of staff, said the supposed extraterrestrial skill can be taught, but a major issue is halting our quest for interplanetary communication. Our science is totally irrelevant to aliens, he tweeted. Though Canseco didn't offer a solution, he received a few suggestions. Would you agree to be abducted, Jose? Hypothetically, replied one Twitter user.
Well, listen, I'm not mocking aliens, because I saw a UFO once. I'm just saying.
No, so who you knows? Didn't.
Yes, I did.
So are you down to change your body composition?
No, I'm not going to change my body composition.
you might get hair.
Now you're thinking about that. Can the aliens help me with that? I would, you know, I might be all in for that. But I will say that, listen, I think it's naive to think that we're the only ones out there. Like, look at the space and the time. There's so much space out there. No pun intended. You know what I mean?
The thing is that there is a huge stretch between life and intelligent life.
Or the reality that whoever they are is talking to Jose Canseco.
Well, we're supposed to be intelligent, and we're talking about this.
But Jose Canseco,
right?
Well, listen.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, seriously.
But Jose Canseco.
Jorge Posada. Yeah.
He's the mouthpiece for the aliens, because they talk through Jose. But he was a heck of a ball player back in the day. I mean, he could really
snap. I really think when he was with the Rangers and the ball hit his head and went over the fence is kind of...
You remember that?
It helped him. And think about this.
Didn't even affect him either. Can you imagine getting hit with a baseball on the top of your head, like that was hit off a bat?
Well, clearly there wasn't much to rattle.
Well, look at what we're talking about right now.
Jose Canseco. Yeah, he's back in the news. Good for Jose.
Is that really what this is?
Played for the Yanks and the Red Sox. Did you know? Interesting stat about Jose Canseco.
Did you just ask me if I knew that? You were going to ask me if I knew that.
Well, I was just making a point.
Okay.
Just in case you didn't know. Won a championship with the Yankees.
Yeah.
And he didn't win a championship with the Red Sox.
Wow. They weren't cheating.
The bad segment.
Yeah.
Sports update time. Go ahead, buddy.
Sports Saturday is back on 101.3 The Game.
It is a great place to hang out. The Archives, a sponsor of our sports updates here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. And if you're looking for a place to go this weekend, man, go check them out at the Archives downtown Burlington. They're going to have a big screen in there. You can watch the game. Great drink specials. Great beer list, by the way, if you're a beer guy like Bernie. You're not much of a beer guy, though, are you?
I'm a beer snob.
You're like a very simple beer snob. Yeah,
yep.
Beer snob.
Give me a Bud Light, and that's it.
That's it.
You're all a light lager guy.
Well, look
just
at
like sure. Rich.
He's very built, sharp, strong, light beer man. There he is.
Round is a shape.
But if you're looking for a great place to go, check out the archives. You can watch the game, and you can play NFL Blitz, which is a great video game down there, along with all the other ones. So check them out down there. Our poll question today, the Green City Garage poll question. Green City Garage, located at 49B. Commerce Ave, Unit 5 in South Burlington, 802-651-9299. Call my buddy Chris Wallace. He's got what you need to fix your automobile. He is the best in the business. It is an environmentally friendly garage, which I think is also very important. He's the guy. Our poll question today is, which you can go to at 1013 The Game on Twitter and answer, are the Patriots the villain? What do we got so far, Aaron?
85% yes.
85% they are the villain. So people look at this team as, hey, they're the bad guys.
Yeah, that's haters.
Yeah, haters going to hate.
Yeah.
Haters going to hate. 655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation, or text us on the Town Fair Tire text line. Same number, 655-6672. Talked a lot about the Super Bowl. We'll get to that more in a little while, but I do want to move to the UVM men's basketball team, Bernie. Last week on this show, they were coming off a really ugly loss to UMBC at home, a game where they played very poor defensively, a game where they didn't finish very well. I think they scored 61 points. It was like a 70 something to six, low 60 game against UMBC. Disappointing for a couple reasons that game. Number one, you know, the expectation that UVM has, and as the host of the show, I will say, I expected this team to roll through this conference schedule. You know, to lose like that at home to UMBC as well, the team that knocked them out of contention to go to the NCAA tournament last year. And, you know, just UMBC. I just can't stand UMBC.
Why?
Because what they did to my Cavaliers last
year. Oh, that's right.
I mean, I'm just disgusted with them. And I was hoping that the Cats would beat them. But rough loss. Did not have Lamb in that game. But if you were a Cats fan, definitely there was some concern there. They then go on the road to play in one of the toughest places to play in the America East at Stony Brook, a team that was undefeated in league play, a team that had a lot to play for, a team that wanted to prove that they were the better team against Vermont. And again, without Anthony Lamb, and Vermont plays in what I believe is their most complete game of the season, dismantling Stony Brook. And I say that. Why I think it's the most complete game, because it's the first game they've had all season that they really needed to win, and they got the job done. They got it done in a big way, Bernie.
They did. And, you know, it's amazing how, things can change so quickly in a week. You know, you mentioned, you know, we're sitting here thinking last week, man, Vermont could be in trouble. You know, two-game losing streak in the conference, no Anthony Lamb. But what do? You know, we talked about how they compete, how they, you know, are just so competitive and well-coached. And they were, you know, I hate to say the word embarrassed, but they were disappointed in what happened, you know, with UMBC. And even the first 12 minutes of that Stony Brook game, you're sitting there watching going, uh-oh. And then,
yeah.
They just smashed them.
And they did it, you know, and obviously they're offensively, I thought that their efficiency was really good. They looked offensively, their screens were strong, their spacing was good, they're hitting shots. And it wasn't just hitting shots. The plays were coming throughout their offense. They were getting a lot of different opportunities and happening from a lot of different players, Bernie. But on the defensive end, they really stepped up and they rebounded the ball real well against Stony Brook.
They did. And I think one of the big things was Everett Duncan had a tremendous game offensively, but this was one of the times where Everett Duncan has played the four spot for a majority of the game. A lot of the times he'd been on the perimeter as kind of the three, and Everett is a very underrated defensive rebounder, and he did a really good job rebounding the basketball, and with his ability to shoot the ball, he becomes that true stretch four, and he made shots. And that was the biggest thing. You know, Ernie Duncan was great. Steph Smith did what he was supposed to do. But then Everett really stepped up and got it done. And you know, it was just such a, as you mentioned, a complete win. Defensively, they were tremendous. One of the things that I think Stony Brook did not have that UMBC had was just that the different variety of guards on the perimeter that could put the ball down and get to the rim.
They did at will against UVM.
Correct. And Stony Brook didn't have, you know, as deep of an arsenal with that offensively. And Vermont did a really nice job defensively. And it's a great win, you know, and they have a huge game today. 5:30 coverage here. 5 o'clock coverage here, 5:30 game against Lowell. And this will be the halfway point. They win this game today. They're 7-1. And they're right there, you know, at top of the America East, ready to go. And then, you know, you start to look ahead in the next 8 games, 5 at home, 3 on the road. So they set themselves up to be in a very good position with a win here today.
When do we expect Anthony Lamb back, or do we expect him back anytime soon?
I mean, I don't have confirmation. I'd be surprised if, you know, he should be back today. But, you know, I have no verbiage from anybody, but you would assume that he would progress through the concussion stuff and be ready to go today, and let's hope that's the case.
We look at these games, and we talk about college basketball. It's such a long season. There's so many games. I mean,
brutal.
You know, it really is. And even if a big fan, so you talk about the power conferences, when somebody loses, Michigan lost last night at Iowa, and you think,
they got smacked.
They didn't. Right. But I guess my question to you is, and someone that played big time college basketball, you lose a game like that, say a Michigan loses, or, you know, you pick any of the power teams right now, the top 5 teams in the country, they end up losing or stubbing their toe somewhere along the way. The truth of the matter here is you just want to be playing your best basketball when the tournament starts. I mean, nobody's thinking about whether you won or lost a game, say, in February or in January in the tournament, if you get yourself to an Elite Eight game, a Final Four game, or whatever's happening in an NCAA tournament. How big or how much could this loss help this basketball team, Bernie, for UVM, the UMBC loss, going down the stretch here? I mean, is it something that can galvanize you a little bit, make you a little more focused? Can it kind of reground you a little bit to say, you know what, maybe we need to continue to work every day to beat all these teams?
Well, and I think that's part of it. You start to hit the reset button. You know, if you go back and you kind of reflect, you know, at UNH, Vermont won, it was kind of easy, but that's because Anthony Lamb was really, really good, you know, in that game. And you played Binghamton and you didn't play great, but your talent was just you know, that much better at this time than Binghamton. So, you know, sometimes you get that complacency, a little bit of fool's gold, you know, we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. And then, you know, like you said, that UMBC situation, nobody likes to lose. Let's not kid ourselves, but you know, you're still talking about 17, 18,
sure,
you know, 20, 21 year old young men that you got to hit the reset button and kind of refocus. Okay, guys, we got to get back to work and we got to start to grind and get back to basics. So, you know, I really think that was great. They responded at Stony Brook. And I mean, that game, like you said, early on was in the balance, but you know, after halftime, it was never in doubt. I mean, it never got close. It never got uncomfortable. And they've had a week to prepare, you know, for this Lowell game. And, you know, you go out and you got to take care of business here this early evening.
You mentioned, you know, I mentioned about the Stony, how I felt how complete they played, especially after they were down 10 or 8 or whatever it was in the first half, when they just dominated play the second half, especially with Stony Brook. But then you ground me by saying, well, you know, Stony Brook's a good team, but they don't have the guards that can get to the paint and get to the rim and get to the, you know, get to the basket like UMBC's kit did. Does Vermont have a problem then? If they face a team like, again, UMBC is going to be a team they're going to have to beat to get to this tournament. Is there a concern now then with the Catamounts? They don't have enough guys that can keep their bodies in front of these guys, especially with UMBC getting into the paint.
I don't, because, you know, again, you also have to remember in that UMBC game, the starting backcourt, Robin Duncan, Ernie Duncan, and Steph Smith all picked up two fouls and were on the bench for the last 9 minutes of the first half. So, you know, not that the backups can't come in and do that, but sure, that's a long period of time not to have rotations and flow with your substitution pattern because you're hampered by foul problems. Mm-hmm. Again, you don't have Anthony Lamb in that game, so there was a lot
what
of
what kind of difference does Anthony Lamb make in that game?
Well, I just think defensively, yeah, you know, defensively, you know, he's a good underrated defender, you know, in his ability to take charges, block shots, and rebound. So now, you know, Joe Sherburn, who had a great game, it's a different matchup. And I just think, you know, when you play 30 games in a season, you're bound to have a hiccup or two throughout the course of the year. And I think that's what that was, you know, and it was, you know, the game was tied at halftime and played just kind of got overwhelmed for 20 minutes. Same thing with Bucknell. You know, it was a good game and just kind of got overwhelmed for 20 minutes. So does it happen? Yes. Should it be alarming? I'm not unnerved. I just think now I'm more excited to see how they respond after a week off. Hopefully with Lamb back, is the train really going to start to roll now for the second half of the conference and you know, the month of February, because 3 weeks from now, you know, we're in March Madness.
It is crazy. It is really, really crazy. All right, so I want to move back to the NFL now. Interesting talk about UVM basketball. I don't know if any of you guys saw, there was a couple Saints fans that sued the NFL about the officiating and the play call, which ended up getting dropped. But Roger Goodell did talk about the refereeing, and there's been some talk now about, and Roger, you know, had mentioned that there was some proposed potential for now for a call, like judgment calls, like which was missed in the NFC Championship game between the Saints and the Rams, that there could be a replay piece that could be brought into something like that. What's your gut feeling on that? What's your feel on that?
You know, it's so hard because I want to get it right, but I also want the game to be over in a day.
Yeah.
You know, like now, especially, I'm going to flip it back to college basketball.
How many
stoppages in the last
everything? Minute?
And I appreciate, you know, in a game, 0.2 seconds means a ton. And I get it and I understand, but come on. You know, I just, it's human error.
Well,
it's the human element. And
I agree.
And
you can't
let's go.
I mean, for me, and look, if you listen to us, if you follow me on social media, I am all over officials. And I think we do have an epidemic in big time athletics in this country and maybe around the world. But I think when you look at officiating in the NBA, you look at officiating it, you look at umpiring in Major League Baseball, you look at officiating in the NFL, you look at college basketball officiating, any of the big time sports, we have an issue with officials you know, getting involved to a point where they are determining games. But I will say this, that you can't be having replays for judgment calls. You can't be stopping the game for these situations. It is part of what it is. I think the biggest problem we have is that some of these guys can't keep up with the athletes. I think that you have athletes today that are so big, so strong, so fast. And if you look at officials, I mean, they're not big, strong, and fast. I mean, a lot of them are, you know, and this is, you know, God bless them for being out there. And I'm not saying they're not doing the best that they can. But how, I mean, but you put a 65-year-old man or woman out there that's just not in shape, that you're trying to chase down these plays and get yourself in position. It's difficult to do that stuff. And it happens so quick. When you start to do that, you start taking the human element out. And that's part of sports. That's part of the banter back and forth. I think it'd be very difficult to put a replay on, say, a judgment call like a pass interference. And there's been people that have said, well, if you do that, you'd have to have it be something big in return. Like if you don't get it turned, you lose two timeouts and you lose 30 seconds in the game or something like that. I think you just keep it the way it is and try to train your officials to be the very best they can be and almost mandate that they're in shape so they can keep up with play.
I'm going to go a little different route for you. And this is... Yep, I'm not going to disagree. I think officiating, and I've said it numerous times, is one of the hardest things to do.
Sure.
Doesn't matter the level, doesn't matter the game. It is a challenge. But my thing is, you know, you hear everybody complain about it, then my opinion, just be quiet and go get certified and become an official.
Yep.
You know, everybody, you're not happy about it, do something about it. And if that means at every level, there has to be more training, there has to be more money put into it, good. Everybody in the stands, everybody on the sidelines, everybody everywhere, be quiet.
But let me just say this, what you're saying. I'm not talking about high school officiating.
I'm talking all the way through.
But there needs to be some type of accountability for some of these guys that are professionals. Because let's face it, man, let me just make my point. The Sean Payton piece and the guys that are in the NFC Championship, that blown call is a horrible blown call. But I will say that nobody seems to be talking about the ridiculous play calling by Sean Payton to get themselves in that position. The Kansas City New England game was the same way for both sides, but the biggest play was the fact that the defensive lineman for Kansas City lined up offsides on a play that would have intercepted the ball and they'd be in the Super Bowl right now. My point is not these games, not these big games where there's an issue. Okay, where there's some huge situation where you're in an NFC or AFC championship and something happens, these guys still have their jobs. The issue I have are the teams that are 8-8, 7-9, they're 8-7-1, and a play in that game gets them to the playoffs and saves a coach's jobs or saves a quarterback's job. Those are the situations that happen week in and week out where it seems as if the home team has some sort of advantage. Something happens every week, and it gets to a point where you. I don't think that the gig is up here and that these games aren't legit, but it looks like the WWE half the time. You know something's going to happen. You know that the home team, the good guys at that moment, a play is going to happen. There's going to be a flag thrown that's going to determine the outcome of a game. That's the problem that I have. Not big games like this where these guys aren't going to lose their jobs, but there needs to be some accountability. But I don't think the accountability comes from a replay. I think it's got to come from somewhere else. It's outside my pay grade. I'm not Roger Goodell, but something has to be done at the end of the day to make sure that there's something done when malice happens like that.
All of these officials do not just get dropped right into the NFL. They have to start at the ground level and work their way all the way up through like anybody else. So that's why I think, you know, like you said, I love the fact that you say, yep, why don't we make a play so we don't have to worry about the officials and let's just be quiet and play.
I mean, that's the whole point here. I mean, the fact that these New Orleans fans wanted to run, you know, get a lawsuit against the NFL for the bad officiating.
Score a touchdown in the first quarter.
Just have your coach do what he should have done with the clock with 2 minutes left against a team that was basically done. I mean, you just need to kick a field goal there and you were in field goal range. But nobody's talking about that. So look, it was a horrible call and shouldn't have happened. But Sean Payton had this under control. It was done. The game was over. But at the other end of the spectrum, we do have an issue and something's got to be done, but I don't think replay is the answer. All right, take a quick break. When we come back, we'll probably talk some more football because it's football. It's prop bets, man.
Give me some prop bets.
But I do want to talk basketball with you, Bernie, because as usual, I'm right about a LeBron buddy in Kyrie Irving. I told you this was a problem for the Celtics.
I told you three weeks ago,
and it's going to be a big problem for the boys in green. Don't go anywhere.
Another day of sports talk in the Champlain Valley.
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
I would be amiss if I didn't mention tomorrow for Super Bowl Sunday at the Burger Bar. You can join the boys. The weekly boys are going to be there. And we don't ever get invited to these fun events. You and me are on the outside, buddy boy.
It wouldn't be fun because, well, it would be fun to torment Rich.
It would be. I like to sit with Rich for big games in the past because he, you know. But anyway, if you go there, there's going to be a Madden tournament at the Burger Bar from 1 to 4 on Super Bowl Sunday. $5 cash and prizes. Only 8 tickets left. Tickets are $20, and you can buy them at the Burger Bar in Colchester. You can call them and get them. You can get them over the phone. I'll get you the Burger Bar number eventually, but I just got reminded about that. So if you're looking for something really cool to do tomorrow before the Super Bowl, I mean, a Madden tournament. I mean, my day, I was killer at Madden. Nowadays, I couldn't play it because there's too many. These games now are like real. But we're talking about circa 2002 Madden. Oh, man. You'd be in deep trouble, Bernie.
I know.
I would just destroy you. Yes. I would absolutely destroy you. So anyway, we'll get you the phone number for the Burger Bar to get your tickets, but there's 8 tickets left. Win some money. Hang out with the boys. It'll be great. I do want to move on here to the Celtics a little bit.
Win last night.
Yeah, Celtics looking hot.
All's
Listen,
good.
Listen, I told you a few weeks ago, when Kyrie Irving came out and said that he had a chat with LeBron James and he wanted to apologize to LeBron James and he wanted to, you know, say all these things. You know, he's sorry for the way act, because now he understands as he's the star and the Celtics trying to get his team together. I told you this is a red flag for the Boston Celtics. Because anytime you start taking leadership advice from LeBron James, that may mean really good things if you're the player, but it means really bad things if you're a fan of that team, or if you're the GM of that team, or if you're the coach of that team.
Why?
And here we go right now.
Why?
Look what LeBron James, we've gone through this with LeBron James.
Why Kyrie?
What about Kyrie? What's Kyrie doing now?
Winning games last night.
Yeah, winning games last night. Obviously tells the reporters of the day he doesn't owe anybody anything. We'll find out in July when he wants to come back. Who knows? But you're leaving an organization in limbo here. I mean, you don't know where he's going. You don't know where his loyalty is. The loyalty is obviously with Kyrie Irving. And that's where we're at. It's a lot like this LeBron James effect in Los Angeles right now with the Lakers. LeBron, first of all, the other thing I have a question is, LeBron James people, all I hear on the radio is LeBron James people really want Anthony Davis. LeBron James people, they want the coach out. Like, since when do players have people? Like, you're talking to their agents about what they want? I mean, when players start running the organization, you have a huge problem, and you're seeing it in Cleveland, you saw it in Miami, and you're going to end up seeing it in the Lakers, I'm telling you right now.
And all you've seen is championships in Cleveland,
and then what?
In Miami.
And then what do you see when they leave?
Well, when you're the best player in the world, your team is going to be bad when you walk away.
Not just bad, Bernie. Because
he's that good.
So let me get this straight. So if LeBron James decides and they make the lake, he holds Magic Johnson hostage here, and they end up getting Anthony Davis for this package that they want. I saw the package. I don't have it in front of me right now.
It was Ball. Right. It was Kuzman. It was Rondo, Michael Beasley, and a first-round pick.
And a pick.
So if you're New Orleans, you wouldn't even... That's terrible.
Of course. But if, in order for them to get them, you know, if LeBron wants them, and LeBron's going to make this happen, you're going to see a new coach, because he's already announced publicly he doesn't like the coach. So how do you expect Walton to continue to coach this team? I mean, my whole point here is that the LeBron effect is not good for organization. It might be good for a minute. I compare him to Taco Bell. I do this every time we talk about LeBron. It's good in the beginning. Nothing beats you sit down, you open that wrapper, smells good, tastes good, delicious. But 6 or 7 hours later, it's not pretty. And that's like LeBron James when he leaves an organization. And he's going to strip the Lakers of a lot of picks, young talent. They might win a little bit for a couple years, but when that's over, what do you got? You have exactly what Cleveland
Anthony
has
Davis
right now.
Still.
You're not going to have Anthony Davis, and then what? Then what?
Whatever
you're going to be Cleveland.
Because you don't
be
know. No, you're not.
Yes, you are.
Really?
And when you look at Kyrie Irving now, and you look at Kyrie Irving, he's going to leave Boston. He doesn't want to be in Boston, obviously, or he's acting in a way.
How do you know?
I don't know.
He's just leaving all of his options open.
But why do you have to make the point to say it? Why don't you just worry about your team? And you
because
say, you know
when you ask the question, you have to answer it.
I think it's ridiculous. I think if you're a Celtic fan today, you're thinking a little nervous. An organization like the Celtics that going into this season, the upside was insane. The expectation was great, but the future looked great. And now you're thinking,
No.
Where's our best player going to go? Now we're in limbo. Now we have a player that's calling out the coach in front of public. You're looking at guys that's yelling at players as they're walking off the floor. You're looking at one guy that feels he's better than everybody else.
On a team that's 33-19 with a .635 winning percentage.
Yeah, it's good right now. It's good right now in terms of winning and losing, but do you feel warm and fuzzy when you look at the Boston Celtics right now?
Yes.
Do you think Danny Ainge appreciates his best player acting like that?
Danny Ainge was like that.
Danny Ainge was not like that.
As a player.
Danny Ainge
was a fierce competitor
on a great team. Danny Ainge wasn't barking at his teammates. He wasn't calling out his coach. He wasn't doing. He was calling out players.
Okay.
He may have been barking at other players, so people didn't like him if you weren't a Celtic fan. But I'm telling you right now, look, I'm with you. Going into this season, I love Brad Stevens. I love what the Celtics have. But when you look at the heart and soul of the Celtics right now, and you're looking at Kyrie Irving, that obviously a team that needs him to be successful, he recognizes that, and he's taken to the other level. He's taken to the LeBron up level, okay. And that would make me nervous.
Hold on. All right, so let's say, I wouldn't be upset as a Celtics fan if Kyrie walked, and then Kemba Walker comes into town. They're both free agents.
Okay, so fair enough. Maybe that'll work out for you. And maybe at the end of the day, the Celtics land on their feet. But this has got to be a red flag. Even if you're talking about trying to win a championship this year with this Celtics team.
You still might be able to.
But the 6-5.
And then you still might be able to. And okay, maybe this guy is a little more unstable mentally than we anticipated. He walks. We still have all our draft picks. We bring in Kemba Walker. Okay,
but you're looking at, you're hoping that that's how it works out. But we're talking about right now with this team and this organization.
And right now they're okay.
Well, right now.
Playing-wise, they're fine.
They're playing okay.
Yeah.
But you can see what could potentially happen here.
You could see that it could go to another level.
I just look at Kyrie Irving, and when I start seeing Kyrie Irving acting like LeBron James, that makes me very nervous. Because Kyrie Irving is not LeBron James. Okay, LeBron James is the best player in the world. We all understand that. He has a skill set for this NBA that has the ability to help him carry teams to championships. What happens now if this Celtic team goes into a funk again and has a hard time? What's Kyrie going to do? So when this team has the next funk it has, when it loses 3 or 4 games in a row, what happens to the Boston Celtics when Kyrie Irving is yelling at Brad Stevens, yelling at one of those young kids? There was an altercation. It's gotten to a point that the Celtics on the bench. There was an altercation a couple weeks ago.
I think more of the I could see more of the problem being not the young kids. I think it's Gordon Hayward. I think, maybe he hasn't responded from the leg injury, which was horrific. And it just hasn't flowed yet with him, and hopefully it can. I don't see Al Horford, Tatum, Brown, all the other guys
being... They're pros.
Being the
your leader isn't a pro. Your leader is about himself. Your leader, Kyrie Irving, that needs to be the best player on the floor every game for the Celtics to win. It needs to be the key player for the Celtics to win a championship. Is not Horford. He doesn't have the same mentality as Horford.
Yeah, because he has to have another level.
No, he has to have. If you can have another level like Michael and be able to carry your team and keep your team together, he is putting a stake in the middle, saying, I don't know if I'm in all the way with you guys. I mean, I'm here till the end of the season. Then we'll see. When you should be saying, my focus right now is helping this team win a championship and we'll deal with my future later. Hopefully it's still here. That's all you have to say. You ease everybody's mind. You say the right thing at the right time. It'd be like if you came in here
but why not be honest?
Because be honest. Why do you need to be honest about that? Like, why would you want to be honest to scare your fan base? You want to keep your team together.
But you want to be honest.
But why can't you be honest let me rephrase what I'm saying. Being honest is great. Be honest. But when you're talking about your future, when you're the key of the team, you don't go out there and start creating question marks that people are going to ask every week.
So then, if he leaves,
every day.
So then, if he leaves, in early February, you said you're all in.
But why why have these questions every day? Why put that out there? I don't owe anybody anything.
These questions come up because of what the Knicks did, the Porzingis trade, and now the Knicks have two.
Tom Brady says, I'm gonna play till I'm 45 years old.
Right.
So that's how that ends the conversation.
Yeah.
That ends the conversation. So he might leave this year. Who knows? Then you can debate it. Then you can say whether it's right or wrong if he ends up leaving. That's when you can debate it. Not in the middle of a season of a team that needs him to be successful and needs him to be a leader. Needs him to be the guy.
I think you're overthinking this one.
I'm not.
Well, the reality is that honesty is great and all.
Well, isn't honesty the best policy?
Yes.
That's okay.
When your honesty is Kyrie's honesty, it does raise questions because when he's being honest, you can see some character issues. But He's not LeBron James. He's not going to get that front office to clear anyone out. Brad Stevens isn't good. It's not like where LeBron basically can make executive decisions on pretty much any team he's on. Kyrie can't do that. If Kyrie walks, they're still going to be the deepest
Understood.
Team in the NBA.
I understand what you're saying, but what Kyrie needs to understand, I'm not saying that Kyrie Irving is LeBron James. I'm not saying that Kyrie Irving has that kind of pull. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is he shows a lot of LeBron James in the way he reacts to failure, to non-success. That's what I see. And when you have a team like the Celtics that are still very young, that are very deep and have some really good players on them, right now your focus should be on getting this team to a championship and letting them compete. And so when you're out there making comments like, I owe nobody anything, I don't owe anybody anything, and you come talk to me in July, and I'm not sold on staying here, when you do that publicly, you're going to be asked those questions every single day. And why do you want to cause a distraction for your organization or your team when you are the biggest player on the team?
Hey, kind of keeps the heat of the Boston media off the rest of the roster, right?
Heat? What heat? You're creating this heat. You don't need to have this
heat.
Well,
what do you mean, what heat? Boston?
Right. You don't have to have the heat, though. You're a team that could be focused on, hey, I'm trying to make this team better.
But now I'm trying
to be the guy I need us to be. And wouldn't that look good for him going to another organization potentially if he was that type of player?
Or like Aaron said, if he is absorbing all this heat with and now allowing everybody else to still kind of grow. Tatum, Brown, and continue to get better and not harp on some of the things they might be doing on the floor.
Then what's
and
the difference also, why did he change his tune from, you know, a couple months ago when he said I want to re-sign in Boston?
Probably because of the Porzingis trade. Because now the Knicks, like, I mean, he's from Jersey. He grew up.
I understand he may want to go.
He's just being honest.
I understand.
I totally get what you're saying. I totally understand. I'm just looking at it from Kyrie's being true to himself and being honest by what he's saying. We don't have to say it's right.
Right.
And we don't have to agree with that. And I get what you're saying. It's kind of like I get really worked up with OBJ.
Yeah, I agree. He's the same type of guy.
But OBJ has done nothing.
Nothing.
Kyrie hit the biggest shot in Cleveland history.
Sure. I agree. Totally agree with you. I mean, Kyrie Irving is, we could have a debate whether he's a top four or five player in the league. There's no question about it. But this Celtic team needs a leader that's leading. Not about themselves, about them, about the team. Not about making a distraction for this organization. How many questions are these kids going to get? What happens if you go up? I see on the text line, Todd.
Todd's right on.
All these teams are honestly clearing tons of cap room for Kyrie. That coupled with him wavering in his commitment to the Celtics, is a big problem. Thank you, Todd.
It is.
When you look at it from a Celtic perspective that is trying to right themselves and get themselves to a one spot in that East, what you need to have, this is not what you do. You don't do this in February. You just don't do it.
Well, it's a bad look. Right. It is an awful look, but played pretty well last night. Celtics are still doing fine. There's 30 games left. They're playing 600 plus basketball. They're going to be right there. And what this does is if he propels himself, he's going to get that max cap. And
Danny Ainge has done a brilliant job building this organization.
So you let him walk, you get Kemba Walker, you got draft picks.
I would let him walk. I would. In fact, I mean, I would. You want to do this? If I was Danny Ainge, I'd be doing it right back at him. I think it's abysmal that he has gotten. He has put himself ahead of this team that needs him to be about the team before him right now. Especially with the team, you have a chance to win. That's all I'm saying.
They still will.
They might.
They will.
We'll see, despite the distraction. Or maybe that says a lot about where the NBA is today, that they could still win with this because there's four good teams in the NBA.
The players run the league.
The collusion in this NBA is ridiculous.
The players run the league.
It's hot or not when we get back. I need a shower.
It's already hot.
I wouldn't bother with those winter coats because Sports Saturday is about to bring the heat. It's time for Hot or Not on 101.3 The Game.
Time, buddy. What do we got today?
Hot or Not is brought to you by Superb Cupcakes in Williston. Stop by Superb Cupcakes in the Taps Corner Shopping Center in Williston for the best cupcakes around. They will not disappoint, offering over 100 flavors of regular and mini cupcakes made from scratch daily. No box mix here, make today superb. They're serving Super Bowl themed cupcakes from 11 to 4 tomorrow. Try the Ramtastic Cupcake, which is vanilla mocha flavored, or the Patriots Cream Pie, which is Boston cream flavored.
It's been fun this week. I've been talking to them, Joe and Hannah, and I tried to put my, you know, you and I want to put my input on what they should name these cupcakes for the day, but they didn't want to hear. I thought they should have called the Ramtastic. There should have been the Ram-a-Lam-a Ding Dong.
Huh? That's not very nice.
What are you talking about? Why Ram-a-Lam-a, you, why? It's a song with Ram-a-Lam-a Ding Dong. Oh, I think it's great.
Well, Ding Dong could be misconstrued for negativity.
No, please stop.
I liked the name you suggested in the break, Ramalicious.
Ramalicious. How about a Ramalicious?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you one thing. All of those cupcakes are Ramalicious, but if you're a Patriot or Ram fan or having a big Super Bowl party, get there tomorrow. They've got these cupcakes for me and saying, get yourself some. Before we get to the hot or not, I do want to go to the text line. We have an unnamed person wrote what?
From St. Albans.
Oh, Tom from St. Albans. There it is right there.
Good point.
Thank you, Byrne. Yeah, what he agrees with me, which is always like this. What does all this that Kyrie is doing say to other GM and organizations? If he wants to leave arguably one of the best run organizations, fact, great young talent, fact, and two top coaches and one of the two top coaches in the league, fact, if I'm a GM and another team, that says a lot and scares me. I totally agree with you. He's 100% right.
Yeah.
I mean, not only is he beating the brand of the Celtics here and hurting their chances, he's hurting his own brand. I mean, it's insane to me.
Not if he gets to rebuild the Knicks.
I don't think it scares them so much as reaffirms what they already knew, which is that he's a rental. He's always going to be out for himself. You get what you can out of him, and then he goes.
Well, that would scare me if I'm the Knicks. Because if the Knicks want him and you want a rental, you're not. The Knicks aren't looking for a rental. They're looking to build with him. He's got to be one of the pieces that you're going to bring in. I just base everything on what people do when they fail, when people are having troubles, because that's when you're defined. It's always easy when it's easy, but you're defined when it's hard. And look, and guys like LeBron and Kyrie, they win. Don't get me wrong. But obviously, when things aren't going that way, it's always somebody else. Fingers are pointed other places.
But when he started, when he started in Cleveland and, you know, tried to keep it going early on.
Yeah, that's when Kyrie Irving obviously was a good teammate. Now he's LeBron James.
Well, it wasn't so much he was a good teammate. It was that he got to be the big dog and he loved it.
Well, whatever the point is, at the end of the day, whatever we want to get into LeBron, into his head, the reality here is whenever these teams struggle, a.k.a. Cleveland, a.k.a. the Lakers, a.k.a. now the Celtics, we're pointing fingers. That's what LeBron does, and that's what Kyrie's doing. So, I hope the Celtics don't have another little losing streak here, because we're going to see the real Kyrie. And I feel for you, Bernie. It's a Celtic fan. You're a big Celtic fan. I don't want to see you sad, Bern.
We're going to be all right.
All right, hot or not time. Let's go.
The Knicks blew the Porzingis transaction.
Can I go first?
Sure.
Not. What a win for the Knicks. Unbelievable job. The Knicks are going nowhere this year. They've picked up a bunch of cap space and picks. The guys you can bring in, I mean, I think Dennis, is it Dennis Smith Jr. they got? He was a superstar at NC State. Great player. I think today, if you ask me today, it's not going to be good for the rest of the season for the Knicks. But hey, man, you want to flop because you want to get Zion. You got a real chance here now with the money they freed up in this draft pick to put a team together and put it together quickly.
Again, I hate to say it. I agree with you. I think in the moment, the transaction is a question mark because you don't know. But you now have Smith. You still kept Kevin Knox. You still have the big guy Robinson from Western Kentucky that you drafted. So your two draft picks are solid. You have now the opportunity to go get two max value people. Could it be Kawhi Leonard? Could it be Klay Thompson? Could it be Kevin Durant? Sorry, Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
Kemba Walker, guys that are out there that are marquee names. And, you know, you now have the chance to get the number one pick. So if, you know, you can roll out Zion with these guys as well, if he's going to be the number one pick. The biggest pressure is you got to hit the jackpot. You got to get the number one, and you cannot be wrong with your two max value picks.
Very true. And I think at the end of the day, if you're a Knicks fan, I'd love to talk to John Becker today, a coach of the UVM, because he's a big Knicks fan.
He's busy right now.
I know, I get it. We're not going to call him, but I'd love to get his perspective because, you know, right now, if you're a Knicks fan, you feel really good because, you know, with the player collusion we have in the NBA, and there's a ton of collusion. If you can bring the Knicks back to relevancy, you're doing something, baby. I mean, there's a few organizations in this country that you could want to go to and bring them back. The New York Knicks is one of them. That's a very ideal spot to come if you can put some players around it. This could be a quick fix in New York.
How about those Nets?
Joey Buckets.
D'Angelo Russell, even though he is a replacing Victor Oladipo on the All-Star game, did get hosed for not being an All-Star.
I'm glad you owned up to that, Bernie. It says a lot about you.
Well, you know, I'm not like Kyrie, I guess. When I make mistakes and fail, I respond.
That's right, my friend. That's right. You're still a team player. You're still a team player.
Anthony Davis will be traded before Thursday's deadline.
Absolutely not. No way. If you are the Pelicans, you have to hold and wait, because really the team with the most assets are the Boston Celtics, and you cannot, you know, you got to sit and wait to see what you can get from them.
I'm going to say hot. I think the Lakers are going to put together a package that, you know, is going to blow them out of the water. I think the Lakers are going to find it. I think LeBron James wants it. LeBron James obviously has a lot of pull. He wants him to be in
LA. They have the same agent.
I'm just telling you, I have a gut feeling that's going to happen by Thursday. I think the package will be big. I think the Lakers are going to go for it.
Then what would you give if you're the Lakers?
I don't know, Bernie.
I mean,
maybe you give up half the forum. I mean, I don't know.
You're going to have to give up Hart, Ingram, Kuzman, Ball. And then you're going to have a couple other, you know, because those guys don't like, you know, probably Rondo to match salaries and draft picks.
Here's the thing. If you read, I mean, again, there's a big article in the New York Post this week that AD's father came out and said that he doesn't want him to play in Boston with the way they, I mean, there's just a lot of things there. I don't know. I just have this gut feeling he's going to be a Laker. I think it's going to be by next weekend.
There's no doubt he's going to be a Laker, but I think for the Pelicans organization, don't you have to wait?
No, maybe you're right. I don't know.
I mean, because
I just have this feeling that the Lakers have to make a move right now. They have to. I mean, they're in a position right now where they have to start putting things together. LeBron is.
Do you think he can get Luke Walton in the trade?
Well, it's up to LeBron. He's gonna, exactly. It doesn't matter who's going to coach him. LeBron will coach him. That's how it is.
The thing that makes it tricky is having LeBron, because it's hard to tell what he's doing in the shadows.
Or his people. No doubt. Or LeBron's people. I mean, LeBron has people.
Well, his people are his people.
But they've been talking about peoples for years.
I don't remember anyone saying Michael's people, Scottie's people, Larry's people, Dr. J's people. You talk to MJ, you talk to Larry. That's who it is. They don't people.
Excuse me, Jeff.
I would never sign LeBron James. I would never sign LeBron.
Times have changed.
Never. Most polarizing superstar in the history of the game, LeBron James. Period. Case in point. Mic drop. Next.
Super Bowl 53 will break the Super Bowl over-under record of 75 points.
So the over-under in this game is 65 and a half. I'm going to
repeat that.
The over-under in this game is 65 and a half. It is.
65?
Yes, sir. No, is it 55
I thought it was 56.
56 and a half points. Yeah. I'm sorry. That's okay. I got backwards. 56 and a half points. I think it's going to be under. I do. I think the Patriots.
Under 75 or 56?
I think it's going to be under 56. I think it's going to be under 75. I think if you're a betting man, the under is the bet on this one. I don't think this will go over. I think these are good. These are two teams that I think will figure out a way to keep each other off the board for a while, and it'll be Brady that gets it done in the fourth quarter.
Thank you, Tom. The Pelicans have to wait. It makes absolutely no sense to trade before the deadline. You have to wait for Boston to get in on the bids just to make other teams up their game.
Yeah, that's a good point. You might be right. I just have a feeling that LeBron... I'm just saying, I have a gut feeling about what LeBron and the Lakers are doing. And Bernie, you and the listener and Tom from St. Albans are probably right.
I hope so.
But I just have this feeling that LeBron needs this kid now to do it, to win. He's not there to just not make the playoffs. Something's going to happen before Thursday.
But anyways, as for the under, they're not going over 75 for sure.
Yeah, this is not going to be Kansas City and Rams from midseason. Even that was one of the best games I've ever watched in my life. But
Kyrie Irving is on his way out of Boston.
Hot. You know what? And it shouldn't be his decision. It should be Danny Ainge saying goodbye. I mean, good. Finish the season, try to win, say all the right things. Danny Ainge will say the right things. But when it's over, I'd say goodbye. Just go. You're not going to soil this organization, this team that I've built from the bottom up. Remember where Danny Ainge was, say, four or five years ago, people calling for his head? He's got a brilliant GM with a brilliant coach with great young nucleus and a team that can win. And you're going to bring Kyrie in, the selfishness of Kyrie Irving? Goodbye. I'd be out of here. Just adios, baby.
What if Kyrie became a Laker?
Now, of course, that's how this stuff works. All the great players talk to each other. They go and they play. That's what they do.
The band is back together. They go get Kevin Love. They get Kyrie.
And they make the trade. And now because Kyrie's a movie star, he's not afraid to go to Hollywood.
No, of course not.
Oh.
So, yeah.
But can those egos coexist again? Can Kyrie and LeBron's
Kyrie
egos?
Apologized.
Yeah. Yeah. Until he's not the guy anymore. Until LeBron yells at him for not making a three-pointer or something. Yeah.
Oh, man, the venom you have.
I do.
It is scary.
I don't like selfishness, Burn. I don't like self. It's not venom. I'm just frustrated with selfishness. Like I'm just
venom.
It's well, maybe it's venom. Maybe it's some venom. Yeah. Maybe it is. You said earlier I was a nice guy. I'm nice. I like
know.
Everybody.
I'm just saying you got some venom towards Kyrie. And just for the answer, just to kind of poke the bear, I think, you know, Kyrie is going to find his shortcomings like he did with LeBron and the Celtics organization. He will lead them to a championship. He will apologize and he will stay.
Okay.
How'd that sound?
I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when I see it.
The MLB should cut their conferences to two divisions each.
I love it. I think hot, and because now you don't play so many teams as many times, there's more balance. So when divisions are top heavy or bottom weak, it allows, you know, just a more balanced playing field.
I don't know. I'm going to say not. I just think when you do that, you take away a lot of the rivalries and the big time games that are happening. You'd be playing a lot more games and you have less games with the Red Sox. You have
but
less
they would
games
become that more important.
Yeah, maybe you're right. But I think in baseball, it's tradition. And I think in a 162 game season, you have the ability to separate the good teams from the bad teams. I think the biggest thing that baseball's got to fix is this wild card one game thing. I think when baseball is about series, when you start making, you have a season where your whole season depends on one game. After you win, you're using
when your goal every opportunity is to win that series.
Yeah. Exactly. Baseball managers don't talk about sweeping; they talk about winning series. Yep. I think that's the first thing they got to change.
That's hot or not?
That's hot or not for this week. Good job, man.
Thank you.
And you didn't think we had enough.
Well, we got spirited today. By the way, Dave Hunter said, nice to hear me again on Sports Saturday. Hopefully there are no ramifications. Ram, you get the point there. The Rams, big Rams fan. By the way, our boy Dave Hunter.
Should probably knock on wood.
Yeah, take a quick break. But our boy Dave Hunter likes the Rams by 17. We'll come right back. Tie a bow on the show. Bernie and I will make our Super Bowl predictions, even though I think the Patriots are going to win. I've already made it. We're going to make our score predictions, and we're going to wish you a great rest of your weekend. Don't go anywhere.
I hate to say it, but the show is almost over. But before we go, we'll get the Brass Monkeys bumping and get you ready for your sports weekend. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
For somewhere to go to watch that game tomorrow, check out the Burger Bar. Don't forget, that's where Arnie and Brady and Rich are going to be hanging out tomorrow. And from 1 to 4, they've got us on Super Bowl Sunday, which is tomorrow. They've got, listen to this, $500 in cash and prizes. They have 8 tickets left for this Madden tournament they're going to have at the Burger Bar. So there's, like I said, 8 tickets left. They're $20 a ticket. Call 802-489-5967. That's the Burger Bar. And to get your ticket before they run out, little Madden tournament for the football game, and you can watch a football game and hang out.
And here I thought you were talking about the Celtics and OKC tomorrow.
No, I'm not talking about that. My boy Kyrie. Big game with OKC. Couple quick
him and
prop
Russell tomorrow.
Couple big prop bets for this weekend. So how long will Gladys Knight's national anthem be? Over a minute 47 or under a minute 47?
Over.
I know you're a big Maroon 5 fan. Should I pick the names of the songs they're going to lead off with? One More Night, Makes Me Wonder, Sugar, Animals, Girls Like You, Moves Like Jagger. Is that, you got the Moves Mick Jagger? Is that that song? That one? Oh, that's got the one you got to lead with. Don't Want to Know, Payphone, Maps, She Will Be Loved, This Ooh. Is This Love. What you got, Burn?
She Will Be Loved.
Sugar.
Will Adam Levine be wearing a hat at the start of the halftime show? Yes or no?
No.
See, if I'm Adam Levine and I see this bet, I'm dropping a $2 million on me and I'm going to wear a hat or not wear a hat. Win the bet. How many songs will be played during the halftime show? Over 7.5 or under 7.5?
Under.
I am with. Will Kylie Jenner appear on camera? Must be during CBS live broadcast. Halftime does count from kickoff until game completion. Yes or no?
Yes.
I say no. But it's fine if they show her.
Ooh.
Total tweets from President Trump on Super Bowl Sunday all day. So starting in the morning tomorrow, over 9.5 or under 9.5? I got under.
Yeah, under.
Will Travis, I don't even know who Travis Scott is. Will he be shirtless at any moment during the halftime show?
He's the rapper who's pairing up with Maroon 5. That's why Kylie Jenner, because him and Kylie Jenner are together.
Oh, they're together. Okay, I should know that. My wife loves those guys. Okay, what, yes or no?
What's the question?
Will Travis Scott have his shirt on? Yes or no?
No.
No.
So Big Boy is also a part of the halftime show.
It is, yeah.
Will Andre join Big Boy on stage? I really hope he does.
I don't know who Andre is.
They're from Outkast.
I don't know who Big Boy is. Either.
Andre and Big Boy are the two members, are the members of Outkast.
How about will a SpongeBob inflatable or a costume be used during the halftime show?
You don't know Outkast? Dude, we use Outkast all the time.
Oh, that's Outkast. Those guys. Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah, I'm in.
Fair enough.
That's the Beastie Boys.
All right.
Yes,
all right, we only have a few seconds left here. Those are some of the props. If you're looking for something fun, if you're having a party, download the prop bets. Those are always a good time. All right, Bernie, real quick, who do you got?
Patriots 31, Rams 20.
I got Patriots 24, Rams 20. Patriots win the Super Bowl. Our poll question, the Green City Garage poll question today was, are the Patriots villains? What do you got, kiddo?
81% says yes.
All right, the Pats are villains. Have a great weekend. Go Patriots. If you're a Patriot fan, go Rams. If you're a Ram fan, just have a lot of fun. We'll talk to you next week.